Welcome back to TechNet Radio. It's IT time, and in today's episode, Blaine Barton welcomes esteemed technical author, commentator, and presenter Mark Manassi to the show. Tune in for this very entertaining presentation as they discuss DNS troubleshooting basics, from how it works, how to fix it, and everything else in between. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist here at Microsoft. And with me today, I have a very special guest and friend, Mark Manassi. How you doing, Mark?
I am great, Blaine. And how's everybody out there? Oh, I see you're all good. Excellent, excellent. Have a seat. This is going to be excellent. Might take about 20 minutes. So if you've got to take a bathroom break, do it now because we're just going to do the intros.
And stay tuned. We've got good content coming up. So once again, Mark is a technical author, commentator, and presenter. Out of Virginia Beach, so welcome on the IT Time Show. You've got a huge resume that's full of goodies. I like the quote, though, from a recent attendee. It says, take George Carlin, make him technical, clean up the language, and you've got Mark Manassi. So awesome quote. So once again, welcome to the show. You've done tons of books and publications. You've got a great resume, tons of magazine articles, a well-known author, very visible at all the tech ed events, the big speaking engagements around all the keynote sessions around Windows connections. You're out there, man, and people know you. So I'm really pleased to have you on the show. So let's kick it off. I always have a couple of questions for my guests. So Mark, really the first question is, what was your first computer experience?
Well, when I was a kid, this was in the early 70s, I would get books out of the library about computers because it sounded so fascinating. Because I wanted to get involved with computers for the same three reasons that everybody does or did. So, first of all, you do computer programming. It's like guys don't get to have babies. So, this is the most creative thing we get to do, There's games. I live in the middle of nowhere. It's like they always have a gaming partner. And then pornography. I think those are the three things that really get us started there. So on the 12th of November, 1973, I go up to the local state university. I'm still in high school. And this guy drags out Dr. Ludwig Braun. I'll always be grateful to this man. He brings out an old teletype. It was a new teletype at the time, 20 milliamp. You're too young. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, 110 bits per second. And he's got this PDP something, some digital mini computer. And he shows us a little bit of BASIC, and he shows us his works, and he says, does anyone want to try this? And my eyes must have been as big as basketballs, because I'm like, raise my hand. He says, so I stand in front of 70 people, and he has me write a little program where five numbers go in, you take out the highest and the lowest, and you take the average of the remaining three. I think the Olympics do it or something like that. I wrote this program in front of 70 people. Typed it in, pushed the button, and it worked the first time. This gave me an unreasonable expectation of how good my programming skills would be, though, which is why I'm not on your show as a developer.
So you didn't really define the click once deployment way back when, 73.
Not a lot of clicking. Not a lot of clicking, Maybe my shoes or something like that.
Well, that's it goes way back, yeah. That goes way back in time with the first computer experience. So what kind of led you in from that experience into IT?
Well, a few reasons. First of all, I can't dance. And second of all, it's a great way to meet women because there's so many in the industry.
That's a good one. I guess you're going to be really diving in deep to DNS troubleshooting basics. We've got a great presentation on how DNS works. We might as well just dig right into that.
Blaine, the reason DNS is important is, because if you can't get to Facebook, it's probably DNS. I'm an Active Directory guy, and my two rules of AT troubleshooting, rule number one, it's probably DNS. And then rule number two is, if rule number one doesn't apply, it's probably DNS anyway. So... this was kind of an opportunity to go back, and you never learn things as well as when you're learning it a second time. I said, let me go back and see what I can do about troubleshooting DNS, which I've been teaching people for about 15 years now. And The second time around, I love this. This is a piece of a talk that I did at TechEd in Atlanta this last April. So if you were with me there, there were 579 people in the room. So if it's any of you guys, you've already heard this before. Anyway, so what do we got here? First time I'm using Link, guys, so we'll see how exactly retarded I can look. Oh, look, and Link has turned my PowerPoint bullet points into N's. Whenever you see a little yellow N there, just imagine that's a bullet point. Just pull. Anyway, so the key to troubleshooting almost anything is to know how things work. My approach, I've showed people how to fix a lot of things over the years, and my overall rule is I don't give people maps. I don't give them flowcharts. Instead, I say, if you can understand how things work, then you can understand how they can not work. So I want to do just a little bit from that 75-minute presentation, and let's take maybe the highest level, simplest kind of example, a DNS query, a basic DNS query. You're sitting at your computer, and you use NSLookup, or you ping or something like that, a.bigfirm.com. Now, something's got to convert a.bigfirm.com to an IP address, and that is what DNS does. And by the way, if you want to try this from home, I own bigfirm.com. I registered it because Contoso sounds like a disease. It's like, you know, what's that little rash you got on your arm, Mark? I don't think of Contoso. I need some lotion. So anyone is allowed. When you want to make an example, go ahead and use bigfirm.com. I don't care. I've created a special record, though, that we won't have time to talk about why it's special, but you may figure it out if you play with it. Try resolving a.bigfirm.com. Anyway, so let's start out. I'm on PC1. PC1 needs to find a DNS server. Every machine starts up and finds a DNS server. Typically, it finds it automatically through DHCP, or you might make it happen statically. And let's remember how DNS works here on slide 4. The public DNS system is a hierarchy. It's a pyramid-like hierarchy. At the top, and actually I'm going to skip ahead because there's a picture there, and at the top, in our public DNS hierarchy, the thing right up top is called the root. Only computer people would draw a tree with the root up in the air. And the root, unless it's pronounced rut if you're from certain parts of the country, is written as a dot. Below that, we've got the so-called top-level domains, or TLDs. You know, you hear a lot about IPv6, and the reason we have IPv6 is that we've essentially run out of IPv4 addresses. What people don't talk about in terms of exhaustion is a far bigger problem. TLAs, three-letter acronyms. There are only 626 ways to put three letters together, and we're just running out of them. So I think it's time for us to go to four or five-letter acronyms. But for now, TLD means lots of things, but it also means top-level domains. You guys know .com, you know .org. If you're in Britain, you may be familiar with .uk. Or if you're one of our friends to the north, .ca is Canada, and so on. You may know that the guys who run the Internet, ICANN, should probably be called ICANT, given the way they do some things. But the ICANN guys, if I have those numbers right, is it 18,000 or 180,000, something like that, you can have your own top-level domain. So, for example, if Blaine wanted to have a website, www.blainebarton.com, www.blainebarton, you could just do that. It's astounding. So if you had all that money and you were thinking of buying a house, you can instead have your own top-level domain. Anyway, below that are the things we think about, second-level domains, stuff like Microsoft.com, Manassi.com, DOJ.gov. And what's happening there is you've got to go to the guys who own .gov, and that's a domain. .gov is a domain, .com is a domain, and so on. Below that, you might break things up, and this is an interesting question I love to ask classes, is so if we have Manassi.com, and underneath it I create a subdomain or a domain below it called hq.manassi.com, is that called a third-level domain? Is it called a subdomain, or is it called a child domain? Let's see how many of out there think that it's going to be called a child domain. I see some hands out there. Okay, good, good. How many of you think it's a subdomain? More of you. All right, it was a trick question. I downloaded every RFC that refers to DNS, and I did a text search, a lexical search, to find reference to subdomain and child domain. It's almost exactly the same. This is what I do for you guys. And so either one is perfectly valid. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So we have so that's our DNS hierarchy. There's top-level domains. There's the second-level domains, and then the subdomains as well. So now let's get back to what PC1 is doing. So PC1 has asked ISP DNS, let's just say that the name of the DNS server that you're working with. Let me ask you, so those of you that are home, when you are surfing the Internet, how many of you have a DNS server set up in your house? I have one. Everyone should have their own DNS server. How many of you? I see it's about 8% of you. Very good. Very good. Okay. And it's the simplest thing in the world, folks. Download the free 180-day evaluation copy of servers, stick it on a machine, stick it on a virtual machine. All you have to do is turn on the DNS role. It's not a feature. It's a role in Server 2008 or 2008 R2. And you can point all the things in your house to it. It's gosh darn groovy to know that you'll probably be the only person on your block that has that. Try telling your neighbors that you're the only person with the DNS server right in there, and they'll look at you funny. Anyway, so let's say PC1 is talking to an ISP DNS. Most of us are talking to DNS service from our internet service provider. So it says, would you look up the IP address for a.bigfirm.com? Now, how does it do this? Well, it's a tree structure, as we just saw. The top of the tree is where we start searching. So believe it or not, the ISP DNS goes to the top of the DNS hierarchy first, and there are 13 servers that are the height, the top of the whole DNS structure. And it asks, what's the IP address for a.bigfirm.com? Now think about it. So there's 13 of these servers. Not really, but close enough. There's 13 of these servers, and every single time you or I send a piece of email, look for a website, whatever, some DNS server bangs one of these root servers on the head and says, hey, could you look this up for me? Now, the answer is coming in a few slides. Let's do a little sidebar. I said there really aren't 13 root servers. In actuality, I looked it up today, there are 255 root servers. What happens is those 13 IP addresses funnel us around to other addresses. And it's interesting, too, if you look at www.rootservers.org, you'll see this. And I'll tell you, Blaine, this is interesting, because the number that I had before, which was from 19 April, was 240. And you know why? Because when that awful tsunami happened in Japan, the Japanese are very, very important members of the whole internet community. They run a lot of the root servers. So we lost, and I don't know why, because it's like, I assumed they were in Tokyo, but for whatever reason, the whole Sendai stuff had taken those like 16 servers offline for quite a while. And that may be, that's interesting stuff if you don't get out. I don't get out much, right? Now, along that sidebar, why are there just 13? I mean, you're going to notice this if you look not just the root servers, but the .com servers. Go to a big place like Yahoo or Microsoft, for that matter. I've never checked Microsoft, but I would not be surprised if Microsoft was advertising 13 DNS servers, because you've got one of the busiest websites in the world. Anyway, you almost never see more than 13 DNS servers. And the reason is this. Early RFCs, early, like circa 1984, I mean, think about it. These are RFCs that are old enough to drink in all 50 states. Well, these guys said, first of all, we're going to do UDP probably. And if you do UDP, you got to keep your packet to 512 bytes. And that's the thing, is it works out. If you do the math on it, it doesn't always exactly work this way. But generally, you're safe doing 13 names in one of those. Let's get back to our query, though. So remember that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. So the root service, you ask a root server, what's www.manassi.com? Root server is going to say, hello, buddy. I'm a little busy here. It's just me and the 12 other guys for the whole world. You know, could you give me a break? And so they say, look, I don't know, but, oh, I have an idea. Why don't you do your job? And so they then send you the DNS servers, the names and IP addresses for the DNS servers for .com. So we started from the root, and the root said, talk to the hand, but go talk to the com servers. So at that point, we go ask the com servers. Now, the .com servers, and again, how many of them are there? Take a wild guess. 13, but there's really more than that. And those guys are pretty busy, too. So they really can't resolve addresses for lazy DNS servers. It says, again, why don't you do your job? And it says, you know what? I can't help you. But you're looking for a.bigfirm.com? I have an idea. Why don't you go to the bigfirm.com DNS server? Here it is. So the response at that point is, go ask the bigfirm.com DNS server. It happens to be called web2.manassi.com. And it gets shot over there. At this point, ISP DNS server goes to my DNS server and says, hey, what about that a.bigfirm.com? And then it gets the answer. So think about that. This is kind of interesting, you know? I mean, what this means, Blaine, is that the easiest query you've ever seen, anything.com or whatever, looks like this. The PC1 asks its local DNS server. That DNS server asks the root. The root comes back, says, you know, do your own job. Here's the com guys. Then the DNS server hits the com DNS servers, gets an answer back from the com DNS servers. Then it finally gets the answer of what DNS server to ask. It asks the DNS server, gets the answer back. So that's a lot
of traversing.
Sorry?
It's a lot of traversing. It's like traversing on Mount Rainier back and forth all the way down the hill.
Pretty much, except this is not an active volcano. But yes, that's very similar. But the interesting point, though, is that this is the key to why DNS has been able to grow. I mean, if you think about it, I would argue that DNS may be the most successful worldwide network around. I mean, you know, LDAP never became a worldwide hierarchy. The web is, but it wouldn't work without DNS. So it's fascinating that Remember back in 1993, all of a sudden people were getting on the internet, and because you're a computer geek, your friends and family were saying, so who runs this internet thing? And you say, well, kind of everybody does and kind of nobody does. Could you pass the mashed potatoes? And if there really is a place that runs DNS, excuse me, runs the internet, that's it. Let's do a couple more here. Think down a little bit. Now, I said that DNS uses UDP. Now, the experts out there may know that the interesting thing about DNS is that DNS will function over either TCP or UDP, and either way. What's even more unusual, just quickly to review, TCP is great. TCP coordinates the flow of traffic. It does error checking. You can send stuff out of order, and it puts it back together for you. UDP, in contrast, is like a message in a bottle. Why would anyone use UDP? Well, to understand that, I think in terms of going to a restaurant. Now, where I live in Virginia Beach, we're down south, and people are real friendly. They don't necessarily rush unless you're on I-64, in which case they're 4 inches behind your bumper. But other than that, I'll walk into my local Eddie's great breakfast place, and they'll sit me down, and they get my drink order, then they bring the menu. There's a whole script that happens. Now, in contrast, I grew up a little further north of there in a little town called New York City. And in Manhattan, if you walk into a bagel place, if anybody's ever done this, then you know what happens. You have a bunch of guys behind a counter, and you say, sesame seed, cream cheese. There's no response. And seconds later, you go, pay for it, and there it is. It's sort of like, and as a matter of fact, if you try to get error correction from these guys, if you try to say, you say it again, it's like, did you want two of them? You say, no, I'm sorry. Go stand over there. You know? And so what ends up happening is, why are they, so Eddie's, my little local place, that's like TCP. Lots of back and forth, lots of acknowledgement. Bagel places in Manhattan are more just like you just send the message out there, and 999 times out of 1,000, you get what you asked for. Why do they use UDP in Manhattan? Because it's the only way to sell a million bagels in an hour. In the same way, what's the busiest protocol in the world? The busiest protocol in the world has to be DNS. And that's why, whenever possible, we try to use UDP. But remember what I said, huh? The downside we've got is that because we're stuck with these 512-byte UDP packets, that and we're stuck, therefore, with the 13 servers. Wouldn't it be great if we could make UDP bigger? Do something that would allow us to have bigger byte packets, excuse me, more bytes in the packet, so we could make DNS more efficient. And this leads to some secondary problems, because I want to do just a little bit of troubleshooting. Some people go and build firewall rules. And the kind of firewall rule they build, they say, well, we see people doing Smurf attacks and that sort of thing back in the old days. And says, okay, so if it claims it's a DNS packet, but it's fragmented, there's something wrong. And that's because a 512-byte packet, it's got to be 512 because of the RFC, almost never fragments. We have to assume that somebody's trying to do something bad. Here's a bad rule I see in a lot of firewalls. If it claims it's a DNS packet, but it's TCP, block it. Well, that's right 999 times out of 1,000, but not always. I don't like that rule. If it claims it's a DNS UDP packet, but it's larger than 512 bytes, block it. That's a heinously bad rule, an extremely bad rule. Because Microsoft, there's an RFC that's been around that lets us make bigger UDP. That's a story for another day. And Microsoft supports it in Server 2003. 08 and 08R2, but they really didn't turn it on until 08R2. And so you'll see a lot of web pages that are absolutely full of baloney that say, oh, Microsoft 08R2, evil DNS server. And that's not an evil DNS server. It means you got retards running your firewall. But again, that would be a story for another day.
Sure.
So let me just leave you with an example of where this stuff could be useful. These are not the actual names, but I was working at a company, bigfirm.com, and they had some sort of partnership with Yahoo. On Monday, I'm there teaching Active Directory, and then Tuesday, I come in, going to do some consulting. I say, Mark, as long as you're here, we know you know DNS. How come we can't get to Yahoo anymore? I'm like, can you get to the rest of the Internet? They said, sure. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, and it worked yesterday. They said, yeah. So what do I say? Same thing you'd say, troubleshooting kind of stuff. What's changed? And they said, nothing. So what happened? Well, what happened was this. A few years ago, Yahoo briefly added a 14th DNS server. That pushed them over the top, and if DNS can't do UDP, it rolls back to TCP, and guess what we found out? The big firm firewall nimrods had built that DNS using TCP is not okay rule. They didn't have that, and as a result, DNS traffic came in, TCP got dropped on the floor, and I have seen this happen a number of times. So We did not have a lot of time here, and I'd be busy to ask me some follow-up questions, but just to wrap this start, I hope I gave you guys a little bit of a feel about how knowing how things can work can help us to understand how they cannot work. And if you want to hear more of this, then send Blaine an email, and I'll come back. Now, you can find the whole presentation, the one that I did at TechEd, on Channel 9. And if you Bing, and by the way, I did this just for you, Blaine, because you're a Microsoft guy. I Googled it, and it worked fine on Google. Bing didn't work, so I had to add some extra words, and this will work in Bing right now. So, because normally what I say, if I do a presentation at Microsoft, then if I got the Google stuff, they'll make me change it to Bing. So I'll say Bing this, and when it doesn't work, then Google it. So, anyway, so if you Bing Manasseh, DNS, Troubleshooting, TechEd, and Channel 9, the first hit will be the way to go. If you got a question for me, I'm at help@Manasseh, that's MINASI.com. I'm happy to answer questions, and I got stuff at my site as well.
So that's Mark, a technical author, commentator, and presenter, as you can tell. Great overview of DNS. Wow. Love to have you back on the show.
Any old time, buddy. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thanks, Mark Manasseh, for being on IT Time, and that's a wrap.